Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Tea stakeholders globally engaged in a three-day conversation on the power of collaboration at the North American Tea Conference, NATC, near Toronto, Canada. Sessions included a briefing on market conditions in the U.S. and Canada, a session on food service opportunities in tea, and discussions on regulatory initiatives advancing the bioactive components of tea. Participants adjourned from panel discussions to roundtable sessions where attendees drilled down to arrive at constructive suggestions. Several speakers, including Madhuri Nanda, representing Rainforest Alliance, and Lehman Brody, who heads COSA, the Committee on Sustainable Assessment, addressed the urgency of restoring sustainable production. Brody cited important initiatives such as Farmer Chat, a computer-assisted telephone interview system, and regenerative agriculture in Assam in partnership with TRA India and Bhumitra to promote soil health and carbon sequestration. Production updates describe the harvest and market conditions in Argentina, which are not so good, Australia, which are great, China, which is domestic-focused, Malaysia, which is expanding, India, which is stable, Sri Lanka, which is recovering, and Kenya, booming and celebrating 100 years of commercial cultivation. Labor shortages are common problems for both tea and herbals, explained Richard Endicott, owner of Meridian Trading in Boulder, Colorado, who described the challenges of wild harvesting. Chapman Weber, president of the Tea and Herbal Association of Canada, organized the annual event. It offers a dynamic forum for sharing by 115 attendees, including growers, traders, government officials, and retailers. The venue alternates between the U.S. and Canada, and this year's gathering at Niagara on the Lake in Ontario. Noted tea adventurer Jeff Fuchs delivered a beautifully photographed keynote presentation rooted in people, with images of diverse people drawn to tea. He said all it takes is time, a beverage, and a bit of provocation to establish relationships over tea. Peter Goji, president of the Tea Association of the USA, described conditions in the U.S. market. Ian Gibbs, chair of the International Tea Committee, called on the industry to help define the organization's role in the stewardship and sharing of essential data in years to come. Takeaways include Carmen Allison, vice president of sales development for Nielsen IQ North America. Allison described the impact of inflation and consumer behavior trends. He said 42% of Canadians feel financially worse off, with 15% feeling better. Inflation rates have slowed but remain high at 2% globally, 1.2% in North America, and 10% in Latin America. Tea consumption is up 6% in Canada and 2% in the U.S. Consumers focus on value and sustainability, with 71% willing to switch brands for lower prices and 66% for sustainable products. Private label sales are growing, with 18.9% of the U.S. and 19% in Canada. The discussion emphasized the need for strategic pricing and reaching more consumers to drive growth. Margot Swindoll, director of business development at Technomic, quote, writes, "Burger restaurants used to thrive and survive and make a ton of margin on soda and pop. Well, all restaurants or cuisine types now need to offer tea, hot and cold. Many are really focused on the cold and cold execution. They need to do this because there hasn't been a ton of innovation in the burger space, let's face it, and they want to attract traffic. So if you want flavors and origins expanded out into the marketplace, the way to do this is to leverage it with food service operators, and these food service operators are very open and anxious to hear from the tea industry," end quote, she said. This is Dan Bolton reporting at the North American Tea Conference, and joining me today on the podcast is David Muriki. He's the Deputy Director of Trade Advisory with the Tea Board of Kenya. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I want you to tell us about that special event coming up in November.
Thank you for having me. This year, 2024, is a very special year for the tea industry in Kenya. We are celebrating the monumental achievement. It's a commemoration of 100 years since tea was introduced to Kenya. Tea was introduced in Kenya in 1903 by C.W. Kane around Limuru, but commercial cultivation was formally introduced in 1924. That is when, as a country, we began to cultivate tea commercially. This year marks 100 years. It's a centennial celebration of the hard work of the people of Kenya along the value chain to appreciate the industry thus far.
Tell me a little about the activities, the event.
So this is a culmination, a sort of. There are several activities that have been earmarked to celebrate the 100 years. We'll start off with a tea marathon in the West of Rift region, in the lush green tea estates of Kericho, where is really fun, but to appreciate the heritage around the tea growing and demystify and educate the population of the unique achievements of the tea industry for 100 years. We'll move to the East of Rift and Ava Heritage Week from the 3rd to the 9th of November. We are collaborating and partnering with various institutions and university, the Karatina University, to commemorate all, if you'd like, appreciate, especially the smallholder tea subsector. The first smallholder tea factory was commissioned in the great county of Nyeri, and activities around that particular great county for the whole week. Then the culmination will be the Kenya Tea Summit, which is the event. We can say this is the main celebration for the 100 years, the Kenya Tea Summit, from the 14th to the 16th of November, happening at the coastal city of Mombasa. As you very well know, Mombasa is a tea hub for the entire region. So this will be the highlight. The main highlight of the event at the White Sands Hotel, beach resort and spa. We'll also have a tea exhibition running alongside. We've invited dignitaries, tea manufacturers, producers, everybody along the value chain. A story is told of Kenya tea for each and every stakeholder. And it is that celebration from the tea grower to the producer, to the packer, to the buyer, to the international partners. We have a theme for this particular event. We are saying 100 years of serving Kenya tea to the world. We're targeting over 300 international guests and many more local stakeholders and partners who would like to sit together and deliberate the future of the Kenya tea industry, at the same time celebrate the milestones and achievement of the tea industry in Kenya. Yeah.
And how does one go about attending?
Already the e-shirt and the e-poster is live on our website, www.tboard.or.ke. There's a live link where you can now click and register to the various events that I've enumerated, starting with the marathon to the Heritage Week, and finally to the Kenya Tea Summit, which is the highlight event of the Kenya Centenary 100 Year Celebrations. It's quite user-friendly, very interactive, and you'll be done within a minute. Yeah, everything is online.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Exciting event.
Thank you. I hope to see you in Mombasa for the 14th to the 16th of November. As we say, karibu sana. Kenya kuna matata.
Thank you.
Thank you. Asante.
Financial ratings firm Standard & Poor's cited financial weakness at Lipton Teen Infusions and downgrading parent company CVC Capital Partners. S&P wrote, quote, "Within the recently revised company guidance for full year 2024, the group anticipates a year-on-year decline in net sales and negative reported free cash flow of 200 to 250 million euros. That's about 225 to 280 million U.S. dollars. Lipton has experienced sizable operating pressures and volume decline, down 16.4% in 2023 and down 10.3% in the first half of 2024, excluding tea estates that were sold in the first quarter of 2024. This resulted in much weaker than anticipated operating performance, according to S&P. S&P's credit rating for the company declined from B- to CCC+. Under our base key, they write, metrics for 2024 are significantly weaker than our previous expectations. S&P primary credit analyst Celine Huang writes that revenue contracted 7.5% year over year to about 800 million euros due to a volume decline of about 10% that was only partially offset by price increases totaling 4%. The shipments to Pakistan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, which account for 80% of the loss in volume, drove this decline, stemming from higher competition from local players and the loss of some retail distribution due to changes in price and SKU rationalization. S&P writes that Lipton had a substantial cash burden of over 300 million euros, about 355 million USD, in related cash interest and capital investment. In line with the company's budget, quote, our base case assumes a good recovery in the second half of 2024. We understand the company is focusing on regaining distribution to keep scale, some promotional activities, reintroducing select SKUs, and reducing overhead costs by 20 to 30% in the second half of 2024 compared to the first. Bloomberg News reports that when CVC Capital Partners bought Lipton for $4.5 billion in 2021, quote, banks ended up offloading some of the debt due to finance buyout at a discount after markets were roiled by high interest rates and geopolitical uncertainty, end quote. High working capital needs and costs have prompted Lipton to draw on its revolving credit facility, leaving 325 million euros remaining as of June, according to S&P. That gives the company limited flexibility under the debt facility, which was a springing covenant. It comes into play if Lipton taps its revolver again. Quote, we could lower the ratings on the next 12 months if Lipton's liquidity position weakens further, such as through a financial covenant breach, end quote, the analyst wrote. 2 weeks ago, Lipton CEO Nathalie Roos resigned, citing personal reasons. Roos, a former chief executive at L'Oreal, led Lipton for 2 years after the acquisition from Unilever. Until a replacement is found, the executive chair will lead the company.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.